Hey everyone, Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of spoken word entertainment. Get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Log on to audiblepodcast.com/stuff today for details.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me is Chuckles Bryant. How's it going, Chuck?
I was chuckling.
Yeah.
I think that might have gotten caught.
Yeah, I think that was an apropos nickname. Yeah.
Jerry's funny like that.
Yeah.
She made me laugh.
I know. Let's do this, shall we?
Yes, where's your awesome setup?
My awesome setup is as follows. Chuck, do you consider yourself a happy person?
Yes, I do.
Well, then, Chuck, you may be dumb.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, there's this long-standing question of whether or not there is a negative correlation between intelligence and happiness. Take one Ernest Hemingway. He said something along the lines of, happiness and intelligent people is the rarest thing I know.
I'll one-up you.
Oh, bring it, buddy.
Charles de Gaulle reportedly said, happy people are idiots.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he meant the medical classification of days gone by, idiots. I think he just meant,
idiots.
Mouth breathers.
I've got one that's going to even top your Charles de Gaulle one.
Okay.
Charlton Heston said, you can pry my gun from my cold, dead hand.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yep.
Was he happy?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Happiness is a warm gun. That's what Paul McCartney said.
And the Breeders.
Man, we could just quote like song lyrics and people all day.
Let's just do it.
And end up with no result.
Okay. So, let's talk about this. Chuck, is there a negative correlation between intelligence and happiness? I mean, if you think about it in your own experience, you can make the case that ignorance is bliss, that kind
sure.
of thing, that you're happier when you don't know about something bad that's already happened to you
yeah.
than you are after you get the news. But that really has nothing to do with intellect.
Well, does it, though?
This
whole thing is kind of fraught with questions for me.
Okay.
Like, is it emotional intelligence? We're talking about ignorance. Like, when I think, and you don't want to use the words like stupid, I know Jerry says that schools don't like to use that word. And
schools poo-poo the word stupid.
Yeah, it's a pretty negative word, I'll admit. And people that don't score well on IQ tests, I mean, that means nothing about how smart they are. It's like, I think it has to do more with emotional intelligence. And like when I think of dumb, and happy, I think of like the dude sitting there picking his belly button lint, like laughing his head off at America's Funniest Home Videos.
Would you call him intelligent?
I don't know. I kind of link that as one of the dummies out there, but I'm jealous of that because I watch that show and I can't sit still. It's just so awful, but some people think it's the funniest thing ever.
I think it's kind of funny.
And they seem really happy, a guy gets kicked in the groin and everyone gets a good laugh and he falls on his face and, Beavis and Butthead, they were idiots. They were always laughing and happy.
And you couldn't laugh at that show either?
No, it was funny.
Okay.
But I was laughing at their idiocy.
I would consider you a pretty, I don't know if intellectual is the right word, but definitely intelligent. I would consider you an intelligent person.
But I'm not intellectual in the least. You know that.
But I would also, I would say you're fairly happy.
Yeah.
But I could see you happier.
Well, moods come and go, buddy.
Okay. But you're saying you think you're generally a positive, happy person.
Yeah, I'd say generally I'm a pretty happy person, barring, you know, I'm moody as well, but that's in the genes.
So your questions as to these articles are, like, is intelligence emotional intelligence or intellectual intelligence?
Right.
I think what they're talking about specifically is mental intelligence.
Right, like book smarts?
Sure, or I think you could make a case that street smarts comes out of intellect as well.
Can you?
I can.
Okay.
I'm not going to here, but I could if I wanted to.
Well, I think technically they've done some studies that said there is no direct link between happiness and actual intelligence, right?
Yeah, let's put some substance into this podcast.
Yeah, seriously, we can speculate all day.
Okay.
So, yeah, officially what they say is there is no link. That's the official line on that.
And thank you for coming and listening to this one. Yeah, no, there isn't any. Actually, that's not true because I found a study.
Okay. Hit me.
I found a study on the Freakonomics blog. Actually, there's a couple. He drew data from a study of 14,000 people.
That's pretty good.
And they were given, yeah, it's a pretty good sample.
Mm-hmm.
They were given a vocabulary test,
uh-huh.
And then they were given an analytical reasoning skills test. And the people in the top third consistently also reported being happiest. And they were less likely to be very unhappy.
Right. Well, then you have to get into what happy is and all that stuff.
Not only here's the big problem. This is the problem with everything. Yes, here is our problem.
Okay.
No one actually knows what happiness is. It's a subjective experience.
Yeah, or if it even exists. I've seen a couple of people posit that.
The problem is, and here's the catch-22, all the people who are thinking about happiness are intelligent.
Right.
If you're intelligent or if you're not intelligent, you're probably not thinking about happiness. You're just happy.
Right.
So the whole field of the study of happiness shoots itself in the foot every time it opens its mouth.
True.
Because it's all smart people trying to figure out what happiness is. And I can't think of anything that could make you unhappier than that.
True.
So let's just stop doing this immediately.
We should.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about some little correlations here and there. I know that one researcher was talking about how our educational system doesn't really... You know, they tend to separate the intelligent ones. So, in other words, early on in schooling, the really, really smart kids are oftentimes segregated and put in special classes,
sure.
Sometimes even special magnet schools.
Yep.
They're not picked first on the kickball team. They're outcast in some ways because they're smart. And does that lead to happiness? Probably not.
Yeah, there's too many externalities that you can't really account for.
Exogenous factors?
Yes, nice. Wow, you have quite a memory, my friend.
It's a recall from our super stuffed guide to the economy.
Another problem with trying to define happiness is every study of happiness is a survey. It's all self-reporting.
Right, true.
And I can't remember, it rings a bell that you had said, like, we talked about this before, and you had said something along the lines of... it depends on when you take that kind of test. Was that
yeah,
you?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, if somebody tested you right now, how would you test as far as the life satisfaction scale or happiness quotient goes?
Well, geez, that's tough.
I mean, like right this minute.
Well, I'm in a pretty rotten mood today.
Exactly.
But I
wouldn't, what about yesterday?
But I wouldn't call that, I wouldn't chart that on the life happiness scale.
But don't
scale.
You think that the mood that you're in when you're taking a survey on your life is going to influence everything?
I would like to think that I would be able to step outside of that, but how can it not? You're right.
Yeah. So the whole fact that it's all self-reported.
Right.
I mean, self-reported data is almost always discarded in every other area of science.
Yeah, that's true.
It's anecdotal.
Well, that's because this isn't really scientific, if you think about it.
No, it's not. And let's talk about something that's not scientific. It's a field, a new subdiscipline called positive psychology.
Yes, that would be Martin Seligman.
Yeah, and you get the impression by the fact that his name is associated with something as ridiculously hippie-sounding as positive psychology,
yeah,
that he's a crackpot.
Sure.
He is not, in fact. He's a PhD. He runs the center, for authentic happiness or something like that at the University of Pennsylvania. So it was bona fide.
Yeah, he was the president of the APA too, so.
Yeah, and actually he dedicated their millennial issue to positive psychology while he was president there.
Cool.
It was cool, but it was also pretty self-serving.
Right, and I'm sure he had his Birkenstocks on.
I'm quite sure,
at the time.
But the whole field of positive psychology is basically they're exploring interventions. And an intervention is any kind of treatment in the field of psychology, right?
Right.
They're exploring – basically what positive psychology is saying is – I read a quote in an article about it by another positive psychologist who said – psychology is very good at getting people from negative 8 to 0.
Right.
But it hasn't learned how to get people from 0 to 8.
Interesting.
To positive 8, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's absolutely true. But at the same time, I mean, like, are you supposed to get people to positive 8? You know, I think
right.
about that. There's some real ethical questions that are raised. Let's say that we develop some sort of pharmacopsychiatric pill that can make a normal person happy.
Right.
Should that person take that pill? I mean, we've already established as a society a baseline, which is zero.
Uh-huh.
And anybody below that is suffering from a mental illness and deserves treatment.
Right.
To get back to zero. Why should we accelerate our happiness? And in doing so, are we edging out real experiences,
true.
E.g. the negative?
Right.
I mean, life is full of both, right?
Right. But are you going to bring that home with the smart, intelligent, or dumb, stupid thing? Or does that fall into the ignorance is bliss category?
I don't know. I don't know how to categorize that, man.
Interesting.
I was actually going to go into another kind of contrary therapy.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, I don't know. You want to talk some more about positive psychology?
No. That's good.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, continue on then. Have you heard of... what is it? Acceptance and commitment therapy?
I have not, actually.
See, I have a leg up on you, I have to tell everybody. I've written a bunch of articles on happiness recently, and poor Chuck's been writing nothing but social media stuff.
Which is unhappy.
If this were about Twitter, I'd be sitting here silently.
Yeah, I would too, actually.
Would you?
Yeah.
There's a contrary field of therapy to positive psychology. It's called acceptance and commitment therapy.
Uh-huh.
And basically it says... like, look, you have good and bad experiences. You can't just focus on the happy ones.
Right.
Because you still have these negative experiences. You can't just crush them down or else you're going to end up climbing a clock tower and shooting people.
I believe in that for sure.
Right. So this therapy basically says what you do is you go back and I've got a perfect example for you. When I was like 5 or 6, we went to this KOA campground.
Oh, yeah.
And I had like this awesome Pac-Man t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
It had the red ring around the neck and the sleeves.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I think, an iron-on Pac-Man, right?
Sure.
And I decided to stuff a pack of firecrackers down the front of my shirt. Stole them.
Uh-huh.
And got away with it, right? And my family was traveling back from this campground, and we made it to Wendy's and stopped to eat.
Okay.
And I got up to go to the bathroom, and... The firecrackers, I was too scared to do anything with them. I just left them in my shirt for 2 hours.
Sure.
And so when I stood up, my fat stomach pressed them up against the Pac-Man shirt, made this crinkling sound. And my mom immediately looked at me, and somehow, she's so intuitive, she looked at me and was like, "What's in your shirt?" And that was that. That was so bad. Like,
it was
right around my birthday.
Face.
They took me home and showed me, like, all the He-Man stuff I wasn't going to be getting for my birthday that year. And they made me take it back. And take the firecrackers to the guy. We turned around and went back.
Classic move.
Yeah. It took the firecrackers back to the guy,
right.
And I had to apologize, right?
I thought you were going
to
say they lit the firecrackers under your shirt.
Right. And then, yeah, put them in my shirt and pushed me back into the store at the KOA campground.
Right.
So that was something that definitely contributed to my outlook today. It's still very much in my mind.
Right.
And I wonder, like, just how much of that forms my personality.
Sure.
Like, how much guilt from that. So under acceptance and commitment therapy, basically I or anybody else would look at that and say, really, okay, you stole a pack of firecrackers when you were 6 and you felt bad about it your whole life. Now that you're 32, is it really that bad? So you're basically becoming conscious.
Right.
Of these experiences that are contributing to your outlook on life that just
right.
accumulate all this crap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely subscribe more to ACT than to positive psychology, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Me too, for sure. My shrink is real big on that. But just from a practical standpoint, I've never even heard him use those words. It just makes sense to me. It's practical.
Sure.
As opposed to Emily's always talking about people that bliss out and that sometimes she wishes she has that quality to just bliss out and like, you know, leave it up to the cosmos, or Christians say they'll just leave it up to God and let him take care of it. And, you know, that's awesome if you can do that. But are you dealing with it?
It's a great question, Chuck. The problem is, we always say on this podcast, to each his own. So if that is how you deal with life and it's working for you, fantastic.
Well, yeah.
I can't do it any more than you or Emily can.
Right. But if that means that you end up on the couch just laughing your head off, like I said, at America's Funniest Home Videos, I'm trying to think of something worse than that. To me,
Saved by the Bell, it's pretty bad.
Okay. Let's go with that.
Okay. I find that show mortifyingly embarrassing.
It is.
And I still can't watch. I just can't stop watching. It's like a train wreck.
Do you remember the show Hey Dude?
No.
It's a Nickelodeon show on a dude ranch.
Was it bad?
It was sort of like Saved by the Bell, but on a dude ranch, and worse,
if
you can imagine that.
That's innovative right there.
Yeah. So anyway, if that's your end result, and you're on the couch picking your boogers and eating them, and you're smiling and laughing, then who are we to say, you know, whether or not ignorance is bliss or blissing out is the right way to go?
Although possibly you should lay off the dope.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
Doritos are in the mix there somewhere.
So I guess the answer to this question, Chuck, are stupid people happier? The answer is we don't know. And whether you think that that's the case or not would definitely depend on whatever self-reported anecdotal survey you read.
Right. I think it's interesting. This is one I want people to log on to the blog when I do my Friday recap. I'd like to hear about this. I'd like to hear some opinions.
Calling out.
I'm asking for it.
Awesome.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
So, Josh, this was a cool one. Remember on our Body Farms podcast how toward the end you said something about the lies perpetrated by CSI, the television show?
Yeah, I love this email. This is really interesting.
Dude.
Yes, dude, indeed.
All right, here we go. Mm-hmm. Here's my firsthand experience of the lies perpetrated by TV in general and CSI specifically. 5 years ago, my wife was carjacked, robbed, and assaulted. She escaped by her own wits and strength. Her attacker had been smoking a cigarette during the attack. They fought over a knife he had to her throat, and he cut her hands deeply. She pulled the cigarette from his mouth and tried to burn him with it, but it failed, which is a great movie move, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
Turn it on him. After she escaped and the police found the car, they found the cigarette butt with her blood on the filter. Under the blood, they found his saliva, pulled the DNA from it, and found him in the CODIS databank, which mm-hmm. is the Combined DNA Index System.
Or as they call it, the bad guy databank.
Exactly. Which is maintained by the FBI.
Sure.
She went through the lineup at the local precinct where they made the arrest. The grand jury got the indictment. The trial happened, complete with a dramatic "that's the man who did it" moment and sentencing. After the case was closed, it was submitted by the county forensics chief and accepted by the FBI to be featured at that year's CODIS conference in D.C. During every phase of the process, we were amazed at how much TV had lied to us about the process. The actual working of the system is so unlike what you see on television as to be unrecognizable.
Thanks.
During the conference, they openly spoke of the CSI effect. So it's basically these cops and forensics guys actually talk about how that show is damaging their work.
They're lying liars.
They're lying liars. And how the public has been influenced so much by these shows. So basically, he hates those shows, and he found it to be a lot of bunk. I did converse with him a couple of more times via email, and he felt a lot of responsibility because he left his wife in a running car.
Oh.
With the heat on and the radio on while he ran in to get ice cream.
Oh, Lord.
And this is when
and
it
then
happened.
She was attacked?
And he had to say that in court, and he said, which made him feel like more of a jerk.
Yeah.
Then she was attacked, and he said it was just like a TV show except all the details of how it really goes down.
Sure.
But
so it's
the drama
like,
was all there.
Yeah. Jerry Bruckheimer is systematically undermining the law enforcement community.
Pretty cool. But she fought him off, and this guy turns out had a rap sheet of like rape and murder.
Oh,
and they
wow.
couldn't get him on the murder charge because something had happened. I can't remember. So he ended up going to prison for 25 to life.
He's in the pokey?
In the pokey, in the hooscow. And the family of the raped and murdered girl got closure and, you know, were at the trial, at this lady's trial.
That's, wow.
So thank you, Christopher, for that harrowing tale.
Seriously, I think they should get t-shirts.
You think so?
Yeah, dude.
That's actually, you know. You went through this, we'll give you a t-shirt. That's almost insulting.
It's like the least we can do.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it sounds insulting.
We should knit her a t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. You narrowly averted death by your own wits,
right.
And we'll give you a t-shirt for that.
We should make a t-shirt. We should knit it.
Well, Christopher, if you want to send us yours and your wife's t-shirt sizes and address, we will make sure that those go out to you. Again, it's the least we can do. No insult intended.
No, just a show of support for bringing us this email.
Yeah. And if you have a harrowing tale of survival, a near miss with death, or if you've run into any bad guys lately, let us know. And you can send that in an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.